Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the final Rainbow Report of 2011. You can have a rest from me all over Christmas. Thanks to Travis for a great show this morning. It's a first outing on Joy and a very good one. In fact, our member number one and founder, John Oliver, has messaged in to say it was a great show, nice presentation, and he sounds really good on the mic. So lots of love from member number one for Travis there. Now, this is also the last Rainbow Report you're going to hear at this day and time. When I come back on January the 3rd, it'll be at a new time slot. That's 7 p.m. on Tuesday, so stick that in your diary. Rainbow Report returns 7 p.m. Tuesday, January 3. We've got a bit of a mixed bag today, some follow-ups on past stories, some only just beginning, and some stories we can't do anything about at all. Bradley Manning is about to appear in court in the USA. He's the gay soldier who leaked to WikiLeaks all those thousands of cables and things. And of course, our dear friend Molly Meldrum is seriously ill in hospital, too soon to say, according to his surgeon in an update about half an hour ago, as to if he will recover and how well he will recover, but he's still in there fighting. Anyway, to our show. You may remember we did a show about the military some while back. The background was the bullying that had come to light at the Defence Force Academy, and also the Facebook page put up by some members of the ADF. Very unpleasant it was too. Well, it seems that those nasty Facebookers are more or less going to get away with just a slap on the wrist. We'll talk to the chair of DEFGLIS, the Defence Force Gay and Lesbian Information Service, Chief Petty Officer Stuart O'Brien. He's not very happy. And while we're on the subject of the military, as I said, we wish Bradley Manning the best of luck over in the US. Last week, we talked about the other things we won at the Labour conference besides that conscience vote on marriage equality, including the likelihood that the recommendations of a document called the Sex Files, drafted by the Human Rights Commission, would become party policy. That produced a flurry of responses from intersex people. The Sex Files is good for trans, but really bad for intersex, said one. We don't want it. So Gina Wilson of the Australian branch of the Organisation of Intersex International will join us to explain why. As Julia Gillard confirms she'll finally honour that dinner booking with same-sex couples, and she's invited Alex Greenwich to come along as well. Better watch out there. Maybe she's looking for a replacement for Tim. It's set for February 21st, by the way. We look at one of the ways the inability to marry our partners can cause problems for gay stepdads with Christina Antoniadis of Nichols Law. And last but not least, we begin today with Sydney Mardi Gras. Yes, they've dropped gay and lesbian from the title, something that threatened to create a generational rift. Previously, we heard from a young supporter of the change. Today, we'll hear from Joseph Chashuti, a 78er. He was there at the beginning, and he's here with me now. Well, a couple of weeks back, we spoke with Triple J presenter Brendan McLean, who at 23 reckoned it was fine to drop the words gay and lesbian from the name of the Sydney Mardi Gras. But people who were there at the beginning weren't so keen, and one of them is joining us this morning, Joseph Chashuti, a 78er, no less. Good morning, Joseph, and welcome back to the Rainbow Report after a very long absence.
Good morning, and thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. So what did you think when you heard that the words gay and lesbian were going to get dropped?
I think, like everyone else, there would be mixed reactions. I am concerned, though, over a number of issues. First of all, that the premier event, Mardi Gras, or the Gay Mardi Gras, as it was first called, is now just simply going to be called Sydney Mardi Gras. The second thing is the voiceover on the website of the new Mardi Gras. And the third thing, comments that I have just read by Pete Ermsim. I think they're the three areas. And my concern here is that, you know, gay and lesbian seems to be going towards invisibility again. And I find it quite strange that, for example, when it came to the voiceover of the website, first of all, they start with a historical inaccuracy. It states that it started as a march and became a parade. Well, that's not true.
So what did it start at? Because I understood it started more or less as a riot.
Well, no, that was the end result. You see, the background to this is that Ron Austin was watching a film during the Sydney Film Festival. I'm trying to actually remember its name, but it's just escaped me at the moment, but it will come back to me. And he simply got this idea of having a party. Then from there, he went on and thought of having a sort of a public festival. In fact, that is exactly what the first poster did describe it as a festival.
Yeah.
So the first war, or the first part of the Mardi Gras, that is from Taylor Square to Hyde Park, was merely a walk, a procession. From there, the protesters actually went down to King's Cross, and that's where it became a riot.
Yeah, because there was some sort of confusion as to whether you had permission or not, or you did have permission and the police jumped on you anyway.
Yeah, there was permission to basically go up to Hyde Park, but what happened there, of course, was that the police rushed us down Oxford Street. So by the time we arrived at Oxford Street and people wanted to gather at Hyde Park, they basically refused us permission. And so there you had a number of gay men and lesbians and a lot of other supporters all dressed up with nowhere to go. It was quite a you know, a quick walk down Oxford Street.
Yeah.
And that's where people got angry.
So this whole thing began with a confrontation between the authorities and the gay community. That's really kind of part of the genesis of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's probably more accurate to say that it ended up as a confrontation.
Yeah, and that gave it a political edge that it really wasn't designed to have initially.
Absolutely not. I mean, the real marches in the 1970s did not take place down Oxford Street. That's the last damn thing we would have wanted.
Yeah.
Activists were more concerned with you know, meeting up in the center of the city, say on Thursday night, shopping night, Saturday morning, so that we could confront the shoppers and their children, so that they could see what gay men and lesbians mm-hmm. actually looked like. I mean, we're living in a period here where a lot of people had a number of stereotypes about gay men and lesbians, and they were the kind of stereotypes we were trying to break down.
So now that they've decided to drop that, I mean, why do you think they've decided to drop that from the title of the Mardi Gras? Is it because they want to? Is it because of marketing reasons, do you think? Is it because they're a bit ashamed of the fact that it's gay and lesbian in origin? I mean, what's the point?
No, I don't think they're ashamed that it is gay and lesbian. But I think what they're trying to do is to attract more people to Mardi Gras. For us who go to Mardi Gras on a regular basis, I have to say it does become a bit boring. But one has to bear in mind that there's a lot of people who come from overseas. And as far as these people are concerned, this is a new experience for them. I think apart from marketing, what we've got here, and as I said, the point I want to make is that Mardi Gras actually had a survey, and they found that over two-thirds of the people surveyed wanted the words gay and lesbian to be included. So the question is, why is it not being included?
Right.
I think when you listen to the voiceover, first of all, there's no reference to the first Mardi Gras as having anything to do with gay men and lesbians. Then you go towards the end, and there is it sort of ends something like this: hearts coming together to celebrate the power and believe in diversity, and to inspire the world to love one another, gay or straight, male or female, Christian or Muslim, brown or yellow, big or small, old and new, butch and femme, dyke and on bike. I was about to stop there. The point I want to make is when you talk of gay men and gay people, gay men and lesbians and straight men and straight women, we're not starting off from the same level playing field, okay? It is us who is being discriminated, not straight men or straight women.
Indeed.
And the other question I have is, why are these people somehow trying to reinforce a religious identity? And religion has been our oppressor for quite a while. I mean, it has served. It is the rationale.
I mean, the one thing you can say about that particular line where it says Christian or Muslim is that you can say, they've both been equally oppressive towards gay people.
Absolutely. And I am
so why are they in there?
And I am an agnostic. You know, why am I not represented there? And a Mardi Gras or two ago, I saw a contingent of atheists saying, you know, atheists come out and that sort of thing. So in their attempt to be inclusive, I think they're not being inclusive at all. But it also ignores the history of Mardi Gras. The first Mardi Gras was about inclusiveness. It was about trying to expand or to include other people in this festival apart from those activists.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you start including straight people as being part of the festival, yeah, they're welcome as guests, I think I would happily say.
Exactly. I mean, why...
But it's kind of like, I see it as a bit like this radio station. It's a gift from the gay and lesbian community to the wider community.
Yeah.
It's an expression of, you know, how it's an expression of ourselves so that they can take a look at us, as you said before. Mm. There is a special information session this weekend. If you happen to be in Sydney, you're listening online, it'll be at Darlinghurst's Heffron Hall at 34 Burton Street on Saturday at 10 o'clock when there's going to be some explanations presumably provided about this and opportunity for some feedback. Thanks for that, Joseph. Stay with us for the rest of the show. We will come back to this and I'm sure people will have some comments to make. Coming up next, people often ask why, you know, suppose you're a gay man in a long-term relationship with another man who has children from a previous marriage. People say, what are your rights in relation to your stepchildren when, for example, one of them is hospitalised following a serious accident? We're going to be asking an expert. That's up next.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.